We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it's a marvelous Monday right here in Brevard County, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on 91.5 WMIE FM. And if you like this program a lot, you can tell your friends about it, and they can catch it at 5 o'clock this evening or 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. 5 o'clock this evening will be right here on 91.5. And we are thankful that you have chosen to make this part of your day. So we want to get started today by saying thank you to the fine folks at Creative AC Solutions. 321-759-3284. Bill is phenomenal at what he does, keeping people cool. You know, I have this thing, and that is this. You know, I'm going to go into a little bit of a brief redefinition of cool and talking about, you know, oh, hey, this is cool, that's cool, this person's cool, this person's not cool, and all that sort of stuff. And I want you to know that, you know, we're talking about our identity in Christ, and that is, the world can't do anything to me that's going to either make me more cool or less cool. If I'm not cool wearing the clothes that I wear, I'm not going to be cool wearing clothes that somebody else tells me that I wear, that I should wear. My haircut's not going to make me cool. My taste in music's not going to make me cool. Doing something to my body wouldn't make me cool. I'm either comfortable in my own skin with who God is making me to be, or I'm not going to measure up to the world's standard. Anyway, back to Bill at Creative AC Solutions. He may not be able to make you a cool person. You don't need him that. You need Jesus to make that happen. But he can help you be in a cool environment. And that's what's really important. You want to make sure that your home is the right temperature. We have thermostats that we can raise and lower to make it just the right temperature for us. And so, by the way, he also knows how to change out thermostats. That's not something we talk about a lot. But you and I, we want to be affecting our environment, not just reflecting our environment. Thermostats cause the atmosphere to change. Thermometers just reflect what it is. And so I pray that you and I will be more thermostat than thermometer. And if you need some help with your AC solution, 321-759-3284. And this may be the most unusual commercial for them you've ever heard, but that's okay. We'll do better the next time. So we've been talking about Matthew chapter 5. Last week we began on Friday talking about the fact that we are the light of the world. Verse number 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I've been in Matthew for so long, my Bible's starting to show signs of wear. I may be having to get me a new preaching Bible here. This one is got some use on it. And last week we were talking about, you are the light of the world. And I had a conversation with a person. They were driving an SUV. I went out to my car and just ran a quick little errand out to my car. The person was still there when I came back inside, and I said, "Wow, that is a very impressive light bar that you have on top of your vehicle. I'm not going to lie. It was a very impressive. When I said it was very impressive, I meant because it was very impressive. Very impressive. And this person, not realizing what I was going to be sharing, said this. He said, it is a very impressive light bar. He said, when I flip the switch, it'll turn night into day. It'll turn night into day. And that is what we are supposed to be. We're supposed to be the light of the world, that when God says it is time for you to shine, that we don't shine a little. We just don't shine in a spot. We don't just shine in a safe spot. We shine everywhere. We shine brightly. A few years ago for Father's Day, we tend to give little gifts to fathers. We spend more money on the food than we spend on the gifts. The ladies this year, we didn't do a food thing, so they got a much nicer gift. But for the men, I gave them these little headbands to wear that had a battery powered LED light in them. And I don't know if you've had things that broke down there wasn't a way to get a light source back there, or you needed a third or a fourth hand to be able to hold some flashlights and shine it, and you still needed two hands to work. But those things were phenomenal gifts because you could adjust the lamp. You could be laying on your back. You could be working under a car at night. You could be bent over, and you could adjust the lamp wherever you needed it, and your hands were still available to work. So my prayer for each of us as we are doing this study on the fact that Jesus said we are the light of the world is that God will be able to position us appropriately and know that when he hits the button, the atmosphere is getting ready to change. So they've got some really cool inventions that have come out over the past few years, where you can just mount a light switch on a wall, hit a light switch, and the room lights up. I mean, LEDs have transformed many of the power situations. You got some solar powered lights. You don't need wiring. You just put it out there, put it in the ground. It charges a battery, and at night it lights up. And, I pray that when there is a need for light, that God will not find us missing, that God will not find us broken, that God will find us fully charged and ready to go. I want to take you to today just to begin a little bit in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 13. And verse number 20. And it said, so they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. I'm going to read one more verse before we get too far in, and that is over in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, right after the book of Ezra, right before Esther and Job. Nehemiah, chapter 9. And verse number 9. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land. For you knew that they acted proudly against them. So you made a name for yourself as it is this day, and you divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters, Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. And I wanted you to see from this passage of scripture that that pillar, first of all, God was inhabiting that pillar. You and I have no natural light inside of us. People from a humanistic philosophy say, well, you just have to look within yourself to find the light that you need for that situation. Well, you need to understand that apart from God, everything we have is darkness. Everything that we have is corrupted. Everything that we have is toxic to offer. The only time we have anything good to offer is when God comes in, cleans house, changes the government structure, and says, okay, now you are positioned to be everything I created you to be in the first place. God was occupying that pillar. He was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And according to Exodus 13:21 and Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 12, the purpose of that was not just to keep them warm at night, although I'm sure that was a nice little side benefit. It was not just to keep the enemy at bay, but that pillar of fire that gave light to them was also to help them in their navigation. It was to say, this is the way, walk in it. So I want to tell you this, Jesus is still that light. Jesus is still the one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus, according to John chapter 8, verse number 12, is still the light of the world. He is still the one that says, this is the path that leads to life. It's a narrow path, and there's a few that are going to find it, but broad is the path, broad is the way that leads to destruction. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus is the only way to the Father. I've had discussions with people, and they wanted to argue with me about that truth, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And they said, you want to build an entire doctrine on that little bit of scripture. And I could say, well, there's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. There's more scriptural evidence than that. I just want you to know, God is not looking for you and I to have a lifestyle where we are stumbling and bumbling through life, making as many mistakes as we can and just hoping that we just don't make the biggest blunder of all. He is looking for us to have the most jubilant journey through life, the most victorious journey through life that we could possibly have. Many people are looking for a boring and comfortable life. I believe that God wants us to be living a victorious adventure. Many people thought that Moses had been and the children of Israel had been set up for a horrible defeat, and instead they were set up for a glorious victory that changed the scope of society at that time. Civilization was radically altered because of what happened with God's powerful deliverance out of Egypt. The question that we have is, are we going to be comfortable with God telling us how to navigate life? You hear me talking all the time. We don't like people telling us what to do. We do not like a lack of control. But when Jesus is at the helm, when he's giving the directions, when he's navigating, that is the best life that we are ever going to have. And I will tell you this, there are many people who will tell you how to get to heaven. never having been there. There's only one person that said, hey, I just came from there. There's only one way to get back. If you'll follow me, I'm going to take you there. That's the expertise that I'm looking for. So I'm not asking you to be a blind follower. Jesus is looking for you and I to be an illuminated follower, where we say, you know what? We can see where this path is going. We know what it holds. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 20, it says, so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near to the other, near the other all that night. Not only was it a pillar of fire to give light for navigational purposes, but it also served as a line of demarcation. It said to the enemy, you're not going to be able to inflict your injurious plans on my covenant people. It was the dividing line between God's covenant people and their enemies. They weren't going to be able to cross it. You're not going to be able to go around it. You're not going to be able to dig under it. You're not going to be able to go over it. When God says, look, I'm going to be your protection, he's got a tremendous reputation for being able to accomplish just that purpose. And so I just want to speak a little bit of light into your life this week. You need to be partaking of the Word of God so that our spiritual eyes are open, so that we see the goodness of God. Probably one of the verses that I'm most excited about that I've had recently is a couple of passages out of Psalms, and I talked about it here on the radio program. I'm just going to turn over to it. And Psalm 143, verses 7 and 8. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul. Every morning, God wants to compel us to hear of his loving kindness because we trust him. And he says, I also want you to cause me to know the way in which I should walk. It is a tremendous, tremendous lifestyle to lead, where God is serving as that pillar of fire that lights up your way. A similar verse, and this is one that I shared with our congregation, is in Psalm 42, verse number 7 and 8. It says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. So today, he wants to cause you to hear about his loving kindness, but he has actually issued a command over us that his loving kindness will be the governing force in our life today. That is a great way. So when Psalm 40, 143 says, cause me to know the way in which I should walk, then once we know that way, we're supposed to walk that way. Okay? It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. It's one thing to have no clue about it. It's another thing to be informed. And then you say, this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I don't remember when it was I talked about the person who, when they, got into marriage, it could have been earlier in this program. You know, time flies when you're having fun. Said, you know what? I really didn't know what I got in. There are many, many people who find themselves in situations and they say, you know, I really have no clue what I'm doing in this situation. God wants to say, hey, this is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. You and I have a tremendous ally in God being the light of the world. He wants us to be the light of the world because he doesn't want people living in darkness. When there was instructions on how to build a tabernacle, there was places where there was natural light. There were places where there was candlelight. There was manufactured light. And then when you got into the Holy of Holies, that was a place where only supernatural light existed. There wasn't a solar powered light in there. There wasn't wiring that went in there. There were no candles in there. It was illuminated by the Shekinah glory of God. And while I'm thankful for the lights in this radio studio right now, and I'm thankful for the natural light that is outside, I am also thankful that when it comes to my spiritual journey, I've got a supernatural ally who is able to produce the light that is necessary for me to successfully navigate my responsibilities, my task. He's able to supernaturally provide what nature may not be capable of providing at that particular point in time. I want to take you to one more verse today. 2 Samuel is probably where we're going to end today. So let me just tell you one more time. You are the light of the world. By Jesus' decree, by his command. Just as he said, let there be light, he has said to about you and about me, you are the light of the world. So today when you go to work, be the light of the world. Represent Jesus well. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Read in verse number 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. So let me just talk to some managers, some leaders, some supervisors at work. You might be the owner of your company, and let you know that David is the one who wrote these. It says these are the last words of David, and he says the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said he who rules over men must be just. And the reason that I'm talking about this is because it says in verse number 4, he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises. When you and I walk in the room, it is not supposed to be an, oh no, here comes the boss moment. It is supposed to be as refreshing as a brand new morning. I don't know about you, but mornings can be pretty nice at times. When we have our Thursday morning prayer meeting, and we're getting up at dark, really, really dark. And then you walk out after you have spent an hour praying with brothers and sisters in Christ, and you see that the sun has come up. And all of a sudden, animals, birds are waking up. All sorts of life is happening. The temperature is mild. The wind traditionally is not as intense during that time. In fact, a man that I know, he took me on an airplane ride, and he said, we want to get up there early before the thermals kick in, because whenever the heat begins to intensify, it makes the flight a much bumpier flight. And so he was a big fan of flying early in the morning. Well, you and I, we're supposed to bring that type of joy to those who are under our authority. And he says the way that you do that is, first of all, you realize that you've been positioned there by God. Okay? If your authority is based on your own excellence and you don't realize that your skill, your wisdom, your giftings came from God, you're going to be pretty egotistical and pretty self-centered about what you're doing. He said, he who rules over men must be just. I pray for governmental authorities, and I say, God, I pray for them because you know how hard it is to govern men and govern women who have a free will and a free choice. And so, God, I want you to empower our government representatives so that they do it well, so that they do it to the glory of God. So we need to treat people not with favoritism, but in a just manner. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs the same standard. There should not be double standards. There's a great story that is told about Michael Jackson, not Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, when he was with the Chicago Bulls. And Phil Jackson came in as the assistant coach, and he said, everybody's going to be at a meeting at such and such a time. And Michael Jordan said, I'm not going to be there. And he said, well, everybody's going to be there at that point in time. And he treated his stars the same way that he treated his role players. I want you to know, there are no big I's and little U's. God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. So treat people equitably and govern, rule in the fear of God, but knowing that you and I are going to have to give an account to the God who positioned us. And when we operate in that very simple philosophy where we treat people knowing we're going to have to give an account to God, and we treat them fairly and justly, we're not there to take advantage of them. We're there to set them up to succeed and not to fail. He said, when you walk into a room as God's representative, you are going to be like the light of the morning of a brand new day. You are going to give hope, and you are going to bring joy to people that need hope and joy in their life. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good goal to set for the day. So as you're getting ready for your Monday, may you be the light of the morning to your coworkers and to your family members around you. God bless you. Have a marvelous day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an